Well, hello. You are listening live to the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. Glad to have you with us on this Monday, not too long from the Labor Day holiday coming up next week, as you listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City. We have a couple of fun things to talk to you about today. Agatha Christie is always fun to talk about. It's a mystery. Chances are, if you've been a performer at any time in your life, you've probably done one of the Agatha Christie mysteries. They're a lot of fun to do. They really are. The costuming is cool. The storyline is usually cool. And most of the time, people can't guess who the guilty person is. Let's see if you can when you go. The show is called The Hollow. It is opening on Thursday, September the 6th at the Sermon Center in Independence, Missouri, a production of the City Theater of Independence. Performances run then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, September 6, 7, 8, and then the next weekend as well, Friday the 14th, Saturday the 15th, and an afternoon matinee on the 16th at the Sermon Center in Independence. More on that later, but I want to welcome my guest. Ernest L. Williams is with us. He is the director of this. I don't know, have you directed an Agatha Christie before, Ernest?
I actually have. I've done The Mousetrap. It takes a while to remember all of them. I've done The Mousetrap, and in high school I was a participant, and then there were none.
Ah. Yeah, did you make it all the way to the end?
I did not.
I didn't either when I did it. And I also did The Mousetrap. Etta Marie Carlisle, and some of you in the audience will remember her. She didn't give us the last 7 pages of the script because she didn't want it to affect anyone's characterization if they knew or didn't know if they were the guilty party.
Yeah, well, that would work here, too. You don't realize who the guilty person is for sure until the last 7 pages.
Yeah. In true Christie fashion, there's usually a gathering at the end. That's not true in Ten Little Indians, but there's usually a gathering at the end.
And The Hollow also breaks that tradition because everybody goes away from this. They're all at a house called The Hollow, and they all go to the court inquest that's being held, and a few people come back.
Ah.
Everybody still lives, but only a few people come back.
Yeah, Chris, she did some things in real life that was kind of a mystery as well. If we have time, we'll get to that. Joy Richardson is with us as well. She plays the role of Lady Angertow, also known as Lucy in the show.
Yes, yes.
Now, you have been here before when you appeared with the Barn Players. Well, you did Harvey at City Theater in Independence. You were in Theater in the Park. You probably sang out there. Which one did you do there?
Most recently this summer, I enjoyed being a part of South Pacific. So it was my first Rodgers and Hammerstein show.
Did you wash the man out of your hair?
I sure did. I sure did.
Many times. Also at Okta.
Yes, yes. Earlier this year was in the show Violet. And that was a great deal of fun. That was my first show out there.
And you know she's good because she will soon be appearing over at the J in Camelot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Indeed. Indeed.
That'll be a big assignment for you.
Well, I'll be a lady of the court, so it won't be quite as demanding as my responsibilities in The Hollow. But I'm looking forward to a little song and dance. So.
Sure. Jonathan Specht is with us as well. He plays the role of Inspector Colquhoun.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, very... very serious about what's going on.
Serious about his job, yes. Very serious.
Yeah.
He's got the, as near as I can tell, is he the only one that holds a job in that?
No, you also have your detective.
Well, yes.
And Midge.
And Midge.
Midge, yes. She works as well.
Yeah.
And the staff. The house staff are employed.
So these are a lot of people in true British tradition who it's hard to figure out what they do to get their money.
It's been passed down from generation to generation, and the Angatels are their family is starting to die out of natural causes, but they're down to the very end of the line. There's only a couple Angatels left, and so the family is very protective of each other, and Lucy decides to have a little house party one weekend, invites a couple people, and mostly family, and thereafter somebody is shot fatally, of course, in true Christie fashion.
Yes.
And then, of course, the inspector and his sidekick, the detective Sergeant Penny, arrive on the scene to solve the crime.
Yes.
And the family does everything to make sure he doesn't find that. That's sort of, they're very protective of the family, so they all mislead him and have him running around in circles.
This leaves you with quite a dilemma. I mean, what's going on here?
Yes, I mean, deep into it, there's still, as he even says, and I quote, it's still wide open. And it is. I believe the audience, I mean, there's a reason why anybody could possibly be the culprit, all the way till near the very end.
Well, in true Christie tradition, everyone has a motive.
Oh, yes. Yes. A motive, and which ones are fictitious and which ones are true. In true Christie fashion, that's what we've got to figure out.
What might be Lady Angatell's reason for perhaps doing this?
Well, the victim and her cousin, Henrietta, have been having an affair, and Lady Angatell is very aware of that. But her plan would be for Henrietta and Cousin Edward to marry, as was done. We married cousins. It was acceptable. So if Henrietta would marry Edward, then Edward would be able to hold on to the family estate, which is Ainswick. And Ainswick is very, very dear and important to Lady Angatell. She spends a lot of her time worrying about the state of Ainswick and keeping it in the Angatell name.
Yeah, so estates running down seems to be a continuing problem.
Right.
For the aristocracy.
Exactly. Here. I think all of us who were fans of Downton Abbey found it very useful in this show to be able to relate at one level or another.
Yeah, so. Does Ernest talk to you about the accents? And no, not at all?
No, he's really left it up to us. But it's fun, and it is... I'm glad that my BBC addictions are paying off in one effect or another.
And I've fed those. I've encouraged them to watch the BBC because even the newscasters are very consistent and very stylized in terms of everybody sort of having the same accent. And so I've encouraged that. I haven't, because I'm not a person that is very strong in dialects. In terms of teaching them to other people, I don't feel like that's a strength of mine. Mm. So I encourage them to go find their own sources.
Yes, well, I've had British actors on. They will often come to Metropolitan Ensemble Theater once or twice a year. Bob hosts some of them. And they have told me in interviews, they said, from village to village, it changes.
Sure.
So I guess you could get away with whatever you wanted to
do. Well, the fact that they're all relatives, they all need to be pretty similar. And we're very fortunate with this cast that they enjoy and like each other. So they talk to each other a lot. So that helps in terms of, well, when you're trying to build the consistency of dialect and stuff.
Yeah, it really would. Tell us about some of the other characters in the show and the actors that portray them and how they sort of fit in. Who is the most suspected? Is there one who's more suspected than anyone else? Well, that doesn't mean they're the guilty person, by the way. Right. Not with Agatha Christie.
No, probably living with Lady Angatell, well, her husband, Sir Henry, is being played by Paul Huff, formerly of the American Heartland. I don't think anybody really suspects him. He's such an upstanding person, and he was a peer, and he was in the India governmental system, government house. I'm not sure of details on that, of how England views that, but he was part of the occupation of India and one of the part of the government, and he has since retired, and of course the empire has fallen.
Yes,
India is now.
It certainly did, yes.
And this is the time that's just happened. It's just after that. And living with them is also another cousin, Henrietta Angatell, who is a sculptress, and she's recognized. She's in the art world, and the papers review her, and big papers review her, and she seems to be somebody who has a good career going. Why would she kill this person? Well, I don't. She has having an affair with him.
Ah, well, there's a good enough reason right there.
You know, and he's married, so that's an, and so therefore his wife is always suspected too. It's a guest of the Angatels, the Christos, who have come down to spend the weekend, and he's a doctor. He's quite well known, they tell us, particularly with Riggs' disease, which is a made-up disease that is similar to multiple sclerosis, and he is the victim.
Sure.
And you will see why when you come, when he chases every woman on stage. He's a bit of a hound.
We're speaking with the director and two members of the cast of The Hollow at City Theater of Independence, opening on Thursday, September the 6th. The number to call for more information, 816-325-7367. Or you can go online, of course, citytheaterofindependence.org. Performances are held in the Roger Sermon Center. 201 North Dodgen is the address, on the southeast corner of the intersection of Truman and Nolan Roads. Probably better to find it that way. Oh, you also need the zip code if you're going to MapQuest, and the zip code is 64050. Speaking with Ernest L. Williams, the director, Jonathan Specht, the inspector, and Joy Richardson, who is Lucy, Lady Angatel, in the show. Biggest challenge, I would think costumes. It's always hard to find enough costumes to fit the period piece, which she always writes in.
Well, this is set in 1951, so it's hard for us nowadays, but at the time, you just walked in off the street. But these are upper class, and so that creates a level of difficulty is above everything else. Not only you can't find 1951 high fashion, what the aristocracy would have worn as easily, and we've had to make a few alterations and cut up a few pieces and patch together a few pieces and find out what works. Joy has suffered some of the traumas of that.
Well, let's hear about this. What have they outfitted you in?
Well, we're still nailing things down, but you know, I have a number of things that I need to wear. I go to the farm to get eggs, and I am gardening, but then I dress for dinner, and then I come out looking smashing to go to this inquest, because I'm so excited to go to the inquest. I've done many things in my life. I've lived in India and done many things, but I've never been to an inquest before, so I'm quite excited about
Even though you might be a suspect, you don't mind going to the inquest?
No, not a bit. It's all very interesting.
Well, that
see.
Is indeed confident. And of course, would make me suspect that your eagerness might actually be a way of you trying to cover. And so I might. Did you suspect her when she was anxious to go to the inquest?
I suspect everyone.
Yeah,
she's very excited about the inquest. It, you know, a star status kind of thing. But Sergeant Penny, as you said, my sidekick. We suspect everyone because everyone, you know, this is family and they are, I think Ernest said it best. It's kind of like a mafia family in that, you know, it doesn't go outside the family. We protect the family. So there is an atmosphere.
You can't answer this. I know. Do they turn on each other?
Well, I don't want to answer that.
Okay. As I suspected.
Does he try to make them turn on
There's
each other?
That's
a better question,
yeah,
I think.
So.
And he definitely tries to find the truth through everything else.
I would say they turn on each other or try to... They also protect each other, though. They protect each other, too, because they do have some solidarity, no doubt.
Mm. Okay. So as you see, it's always so unpredictable with Christy, as with her own life. Have you ever seen the Dustin Hoffman movie Agatha?
No, I have not.
Agatha Christie herself, I guess she and her husband were divorcing, and she was very angry at him. And she made it appear through clues that she left, and this is real life, folks, that he had killed her. And the clever detective, played in the film by Dustin Hoffman, had to figure all of this out, but she actually set up her own husband. She's so good at placing clues that people actually bought the fact that she might really be dead.
Well, and she was gone for over a month, wasn't it?
A long time.
And people were like, where's Agatha? You know, and she really, it was a bitter divorce.
Yes. Obviously.
Obviously. She did better in her second marriage.
Well, I would hope so. But you see how clever she was. And I'm sure she's just as good in this play as well.
Oh, I think this is one of her best plays because the characters are so rich. And sometimes the characters become sort of stereotypical. They seem to fill voids or, you know, with a lot of her work. And that's not a bad thing because it's a murder mystery. But this is family, and she kind of created levels of that. And so they're all interwoven with each other, and they seem to have real emotions, real passions, and things that have nothing to do with what's going on stage with the murders and stuff. And so they interact and live their lives, even though they're being investigated for murder. And the first half of the play leads up to the murder, and the second half is the solving of the murder.
Why would a murder change anything we do every day? I mean, we still have our normal activities we must do. Why should a mere murder change all
that? Well, as Lady Angatel says it best, it's just so upsetting. It's because it upsets the servants.
Does it?
One must go on with meals and things.
Yes, indeed. Are you very loyal to your servants?
Yes, and they to me. Yes, especially the butler and I have I would expect a very long bond that we've been together, you know, for a long, long time. And he's very, very loyal.
I wonder if it's even from childhood.
Yes, yes.
Was originally at Ainswick with you as a child.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. He really knows me very well. He knows my heart.
Yeah. Well, what's the inspector? Does this feed into the inspector's suspicions of anyone?
Well, sure. I think you almost want to question even that relationship and all relationships. But, you know, it's funny, as you were saying, Joy, that, you know, she protects the butler, and the butler certainly protects her. And he will protect he'll put his life on the line for that family. The odd relationships, and Lady Angatel is, she tries to throw the inspector, I think, from early on off path. So, and it's hard to know whether to take her seriously or not.
Well, she does say at your first entrance that everybody should be cooperative.
Yes.
And that we should all tell the truth, because that's what you want to find. Mm-hmm. And then she proceeds to lie to you.
Yes.
Well, this is what makes it happen, I guess. Is this part of the British traditions, do you think? Usually people turn on each other like nothing flat, you know.
Right. Well, I think that she is hell-bent on protecting her family, and Angatel and Ainswick, and, you know, keeping all of that intact is her highest priority above all else. So if that means protecting her butler, her husband, everybody who is officially affiliated with the name Angatel, she's going to do it.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite line? Don't give anything away, but do you have a favorite line you can tell us? Because some of those lines are so good in the Christie plays.
One of my earliest ones. There are so many. She has some doozies throughout the show. But I guess my earliest line that I just love is, "Darling, those eyes, like a puzzled cow." And one doesn't ever seem to she doesn't seem to understand a word one says to her. She's quite catty, but people love her. That's the funny thing, is she is quite unkind and cutting, but everybody wants to be around her, and they love her. I read, Ernest gave us copies of the novel, and I read through the novel, and they do all just, they love being around her. She's like that crazy aunt. She just said something that smacked me in the face, but It's a great party. It's a good time.
So this was originally one of her novels that was adapted into a play?
It was. And actually, the novel includes Perrault. But Perrault arrives just at the time the murder has happened in the book. And he thinks they've staged it for him to solve because he's known as a famous detective. Uh-huh. And in retrospect, she said, it really sort of threw everything off that Perrault arrived so late, and she felt she had made a mistake in adding him. And
really?
So when she rewrote it, she wrote him out of the play.
Oh.
And so instead she developed Inspector Colquhoun and Detective Sergeant Penny, and they solved the case, which is basically they solved the case a little differently. But it's also a play, so you can't go wandering around a state. And that's what makes this play so fascinating, I think, is the characters that she has created that are new. So if you've read the book and you think you know everything about it, there are some surprises for you still.
Okay. Yeah. So that certainly sounds fair. I would think the set would be... present difficulties as well.
Huge.
Well, that tells us a lot right there.
Well,
Ernest.
No. The set is usually can be very small, but we've chosen to make it a very grand estate. And my set designer, Greg Smith, has a wonderful vision. And we have lots of little playing areas. So I have lots of little places to work and like two sitting rooms and a nook and a deck with a bar on it and an outside patio, and it just goes on and on. So Independence Theater is a small little stage at City Theater and inside the Roger T. Sermon Center.
Right.
It's not a huge stage, but it looks big. It looks huge. Absolutely massive.
Yeah, sets can do that. It can make it look smaller. It can look bigger. In this case, you have a lot to cover. Lots of little listening places where people can overhear each mm-hmm. other talking.
And we play on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll bet so. Joy, where are you going from here after you finish your duties as this British aristocracy member?
Yeah, so when we wrap this up, I'll start working on my first Lerner and Lowe project, Camelot, and join the court in Leawood at the J.
The court in Leawood. How apropos. What about Jonathan?
Well, we're so lucky here to have so many opportunities, so many theaters. I made a list one time in my computer. I just made a list of every theater. And if you want something to do on a weekend when you've got nothing, I just run through that list. I can always find several things. And so as far as the next project, I don't know yet. But I know that I know City's got one immediately following on the heels of this one.
Is that we begin auditions tonight for those who would like A Few Good Men, directed by Nancy Eppert. Mm-hmm. Which is beginning rehearsals, I think, later this week, actually. And they're doing auditions for the next two evenings at the Sermon Center.
And they'll see if anyone can handle the truth.
Yeah.
As well. The show opens, this show, The Hollow, opens Thursday, September the 6th, runs for three evenings, Thursday the 6th, Friday the 7th, and Saturday the 8th, all at 7:30 p.m. Then a brief break, then it comes back on Friday the 14th, Saturday the 15th, Sunday the 16th, which is a matinee at 2 o'clock p.m. The dinner is always the first Saturday. Is that
taken
care of?
The first Saturday, yeah. It starts at 6:30, and it is a dinner theater, and reservations are due in a week.
Yeah. Okay. So you don't have much time. So the story will go on. It's at City Theater of Independence in the Sermon Center, intersection of Truman and Nolan Roads in Independence, where so much happens in Independence, at least in the next couple of weeks. A lot is happening there. The website is citytheaterofindependence.org, and I believe you can make your arrangements there, or call 816-325-7367. It is located at 201 North Dodge, and technically, if you want to MapQuest things, you need the zip code 64050. but the southeast corner of Truman and Nolan Roads in Independence. I want to thank my guests for coming. It's always fun to talk about an Agatha Christie play because unless you've seen or read the books before, it's hard to figure out who does what, and your mind changes throughout the show.
She sometimes changes things up on you.
Yes, she does. She does. Like she did in real life, as I pointed out earlier. I want to thank my guest, Ernest L. Williams, the director, Jonathan Specht, plays the role of Inspector Colquhoun, and Joy Richardson, who plays the role of Lady Angutel. I would put my money on her. In the City Theater production of The Hollow, opening on Thursday, September the 6th, so you'll get your Labor Day weekend out of the way, and they'll have a few more rehearsals, then they'll be able to hit it hard for you, so to speak. Yes. You always want to keep them guessing right to the end, and with Christie, that usually does happen.
It does.
It does. Thanks all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us. Well, I'm going to take a brief break. We're going to hear what's going on out at the movies with Russ Simmons in his freeze frame feature, and then we will return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM. And welcome back to the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. We're going to journey on, we just went east to Independence. We're going to journey west just a little ways to the Alcott Arts Center, where they are presenting, for how many years now, Shakespeare in the Parking Lot.
Yeah, going on 11 years.
11 years you've been doing that. That's the voice of Chuck Green. He is the president of the Alcott Arts Center. Is it a foundation?
It's the L.M. Alcott Arts Center Foundation is our long name.
Yeah, I'm good with titles. As far as I know, you're just Alcott Arts. Chuck is with us. He is the president of Alcott. Also with him, his wife, Chris Green. She is the executive director. Am I right on that?
Yes, it is.
She's the executive director of Alcott, and they brought along with them the director and an artist in her own right, Lindsay Weaver. She is the director of Shakespeare in the Parking Lot. For 11 years now, they've been presenting that. She's also an artist in her own right, because I saw on the website that you were part of the showing they had just this recent weekend, and Alcott does that.
Yes, and my art is actually still on display for the rest of this month,
Yeah, so they can come. If they come and see the show, they can see your artwork as well.
Unfortunately, it won't overlap that much. I'm just up for this rest of the week, this month, and then another artist will take over the gallery.
That's an interesting combination. There's a lot of actors who are also artists and vice versa, but there's not a lot. There's some. How do you do that in your mind? Do you get inspired for your art one way and become a director and probably a performer as well?
Yes.
Doing other things.
Yeah. This is a very recent discovery that I don't like being put in one creative box. I first and foremost consider myself an actor, and then this visual art started coming about late last year, and then Chris asked me to direct, and I've been enjoying all three of them just in their own space, I guess.
You've done Shakespeare yourself before?
Yes, many times.
What kinds of roles did you have?
My favorite one I did, actually at City Theater of Independence a few years ago, I was Kate in Taming of the Shrew. I've also done Romeo and Juliet here in town. I did Love's Labor's Lost here at the Alcott a couple years ago. I got to play the Princess of France there. So I just kind of dabble all over with Shakespeare roles. It's really fun.
Chuck and Chris asked you to direct this. Mm-hmm. So are you having fun with your Shakespeare?
Gosh, so much fun. So much fun. And I've been really lucky. Chris and Chuck both gave me a lot of freedom with it. And so instead of doing a full production of a full-length Shakespeare play, I wanted to do something a little different and put on a showcase. And I tailor the scenes that I chose for this show to the actors that auditioned for me and got cast.
Now, the overall presentation is called Witty Fools and Foolish Wits, Scenes from the Works of William Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. So you have a lot to pick from. I guess you picked scenes from A Midsummer Night's Dream, for one. Mm-hmm. And then it also said A Taming of the Shrew and more. So you leave yourself a lot of room.
Yes.
What are you doing from A Midsummer Night's Dream? Has to be Puck.
Well, we are doing one puck piece from it, but we're actually focusing more on the Rude Mechanicals, the folks who put on the play for the Duke and the Duchess at the end of the show of A Midsummer Night's Dream. So we're having a couple of scenes involving those characters because there's a lot of them, so a lot of people get to have a lot of fun with it. And then we'll do the Puck's final monologue from the show as well.
Yeah, The Taming of the Shrew. Now, you've done that one, so did you pick something that you had done?
It's funny, I actually discovered that I couldn't detach myself from the production that I did, so we are no longer doing scenes from The Taming of the Shrew, but we will be doing scenes from Twelfth Night and As You Like It, as far as comedies go, and The Merchant of Venice. And then we'll have a lot of other shows as well, Julius Caesar, and the Scottish play, Macbeth. What else are we doing? Richard II, Henry V. So we've got a nice hodgepodge of different scenes.
So when
in there.
We did the promo for that, one of the lines we chose was a horse, my kingdom for all.
Yes.
It's always one of my favorites.
Oh my gosh, I love that line. Yes. Yeah, I love Richard III. And this was actually Richard II that we're doing, which I actually was not very familiar with. Until very recently, but I've become really fascinated with it and the story behind it.
Yeah, well, tell us about the casting process. It's not as easy when you're doing Shakespeare because that requires a little more talent from your people.
It does. It requires the ability to really dive deep into the words and understand their meaning and what could have been meant and what you will mean when you're in that character's headspace. So it was really fun to just audition people, and I put it out there for people who wanted to audition, that when they arrive, I want them to tell me if they have any characters or any scenes that they've always wanted to do. So everyone actually got to choose a scene for the show, and that's been really fun to get to play with that and then see where they go with it, because they already have ideas for it, and then I'll just fill in a little bit of space with these extra scenes.
Yeah. Yeah, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. That would be good.
Yeah.
It's always fun to do them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and of course, Hamlet. Shakespeare named that character after an actual son he had, which he named Hamlet.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. That's right. And then he died young, unfortunately.
Well, yeah. So, mm-hmm. So there's a lot that goes into doing Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
I ask in some ways, but I'll ask directly. You've done a lot of Shakespeare in your time?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I actually started really early. My high school was wonderful. They understood that if you understand Shakespeare early, you'll understand it better when you get to the professional world. So they did Shakespeare shows once every year. And my senior year, we actually did 3 Shakespeare shows. And so I was, you know, pretty well versed in it and then I got into college where I studied a little bit. We got to do The Tempest. And then, of course, getting into the professional world, I got to do a few more shows and took a class with Heart of America Shakespeare 1 year, and that was really fun.
I bet so.
Yeah.
Now, they take their Shakespeare very seriously.
Oh, yes. They do, but you still have a lot of fun learning about it in that class. It's been really wonderful.
Well, tell us about some of the people you cast and the roles they play.
Yeah. Most of the people are folks that I've worked with before who came out because I was directing. So I have a large range of people that I've worked with a lot and some I haven't worked with at all, actually. A couple of folks are a married couple, Teddy and Victor Castillo.
Victor.
Victor
used to blog a lot. Does he still blog a lot?
I don't know, to be completely honest. I will have to ask him.
Well, he jokingly told me one time that he had gotten some threats from his blogging. I don't think they were serious threats. But, you know, opinionated people, that often happens.
Yeah.
But he would be good in that role.
Yeah. So he and his wife are both in it. I worked with them on The Taming of the Shrew in 2014. Another cast member is a friend of mine I have 2 friends from college in there, actually. One of them I've worked with on several shows. She was actually in Love's Labor's Lost with me at the Alcott. And then the other one I have not seen since college, but he came out to audition, and I was so excited that he was there. And, you know, they're all just so full of talent. And so it's been really great to get to work with these people in this new capacity where I help them explore and find what's really fun in these scenes that they're doing.
Yeah, nobody is more copied than Shakespeare.
Oh, no.
things over the years, shows, other productions. West Side Story, for instance, is a takeoff on Romeo and Juliet. And Shakespeare has been copied over the years. Anytime you see a show with twins in it or mistaken identity, I think of Shakespeare. And that's what happens in some of the plays. From all that material, how did you decide which ones you wanted to feature?
Well, luckily, they picked most of them for me. So that most of the show was framed around that. But I have been fascinated with a few different scenes. I always think that the Midsummer Mechanicals are just some of the funniest characters in all of Shakespeare. And they have so much fun and so much wordplay that it's just really fun for the audience to hear and watch them play with that. And then one that I chose that was not requested by a cast member, I knew I was going to put in as soon as I knew I was doing a showcase, was the Macbeth, the dinner scene where he sees the ghost of his friend that he killed, Banquo. But no one else sees him. And, I've just got little goosebumps thinking about it. I just love it so much.
You said it, so I'll say it. Macbeth. I don't think that applies to radio.
Well, if it does, I do know the remedy.
There is a curse for it, but you have a remedy.
I do. This comes from Patrick Stewart's mouth, so I take it as the highest authority.
Oh, from the bridge of the Enterprise.
Yes. So if you say Macbeth in a theater, the counter to that is saying any line from the play A Midsummer Night's Dream. And the theory goes that the good magic of Midsummer balances out the bad magic of Macbeth.
Ah.
So you can say, I'm blanking on lines. I am amazed and know not what to say. There you go. Well,
that would be a good one.
Yep, that's a Midsummer line, so you can just say
that. So for all of you who have suffered with this dilemma, because there was an actress, I won't say her name in case she happens to be hearing, which is doubtless. But a professional act in the neighborhood I grew up in, there was a professional actress that lived about a block and a half away. She was a professional, and she did Macbeth on the East Coast. And she was Lady Macbeth. Mm-hmm. And of course, the actor who played Macbeth actually passed away during the scene.
Oh, my gosh.
So she believed very fervently in the curse. So if I see her again, I will certainly let her know that there is now a cure for it, which you have come up with. Did you come up with this on your... Oh, Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart. Yeah. No, I would... I don't know the remedy for it on my own. I just try to not say it. Okay. I still try to not say it, but it's good knowing that there is a remedy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes. So what other things have you done around either as an artist or as a performer or a director?
Oh, goodness. Well, the biggest project that I've had outside of this recently was, is, because we're still filming. I'm actually part of a feature film with IX Productions. They're here in town. They're local. And it's called The Way It Goes. And we have a few more shoot days left, and then we'll be wrapped. And it's a comedy. It's... it takes place here in Kansas City, so we use a lot of locations that are very unique to Kansas City. The Western Auto sign will make a cameo, I'm pretty sure.
Wow. Now that it's back in operation.
Yes. And it's a really fun story. I play this girl, Liz, who is stuck in this job that she doesn't like, and she's unhappy with all of her romantic relationships. And so the movie is about her finding her confidence and coming into her own self and finding what she really wants to do in life.
Will that have a local screening once it's all put together?
Hopefully. With them, their process is after filming is wrapped, they'll edit and then they'll submit it to a bunch of festivals. Now, they have had a few screenings at the Kansas City Film Fest for the past several years, so hopefully we'll get in there, but nothing is for sure yet. But after they finish the festival rounds, you can follow them on their Facebook page, IX Productions. They will post how you can see that once it's available to the public.
We're speaking with the director of the show, and she's also in a in a film, as she was talking about, Lindsay Weaver. She is the director, and she is the director of the Shakespeare in the Parking Lot presentation of the Alcott Arts Center. Also with us, we haven't spoken to the Greens very much. Chuck Green, who is the president of Alcott, and Chris Green, who is the executive director, and other duties as well at the Alcott Arts Center. So Shakespeare in the Parking Lot comes September the 8th, which is a Saturday at 3 o'clock p.m. And when I saw on your website, it looked like all of the shows were at 3 o'clock p.m., Chuck?
They are.
Okay. Sunday the 9th at 3 o'clock p.m. Give them a few days off, enough time for Lindsay to wrap her movie. And Saturday the 15th at 3 o'clock p.m. then closes on Sunday the 16th at 3 o'clock p.m. at the Alcott Arts Center, 180 South 18th Street, Kansas City, Kansas. And if you need to MapQuest, you need the zip code 66102. Also, the number you can call for more information, 913-233-2787, which translates to ARTS.
It does, I believe, if
I'm doing my alphabet and numbers correctly. Also, alcottartscenter.org, where you can get lots of information. So not only do they have the Shakespeare in the Parking Lot in its 11th season going on over there, they also, it seems like every weekend you have something going on as far as art and art presentations or classes or something like that.
Yeah, we like to stay busy, and as you know, it's all about providing the artistic opportunities to everyone. So we, opposed to last year and years before, when we would only do a second Saturday exhibit and have the galleries open once a week and midweek, this year we're doing every Saturday. So it gets the artist a lot more exposure. And we have a lot of artists that also come in and talk to the exhibiting artists, kind of banter back and forth and compare techniques and things like that. And we're lucky enough to where there's an artist that Alcott is associated with, Cecil Mashburn, who went to grade school at Alcott in the 40s. And he's a fine arts artist, and he comes back, and he loves to interact, especially with the youth. So it's a great opportunity for us to be able to have these people come in and share their wealth of knowledge with everyone else.
And your Facebook page, it indicated you went to some schools, things like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, our teachers go out. Chris does a lot of it, and We mainly go, I think, up to about the third grade out in those schools, just putting art in the classroom. We're not trying to take any teachers' jobs away, but it's more where there's a need, we try to fill it until they have funding for art teachers. So some schools that we were doing last year, we won't be doing this year for that very reason. Mm-hmm. But others have asked us to come out to their schools now that don't have it. So it's a great pleasure, and to see the creativity and the joy on all the kids' face, it's a reward that you just can't compare.
Yeah, well, the critics kind of stay away from the young ones, so they can be more free-flowing.
Absolutely.
And all of that. You know, as you get older and more serious about your art, you kind of attract the critics that come out.
Well, and we've been really lucky. I mean, most of the people that have exhibited at Alcott over the years, they're very receiving of the information. You know, they are accepting. They just like the input. And whether it's a little bit critical, they seem to take it well. Now, with the kids, you're right, and it kind of goes along with our motto, everything positive.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you if that was still your motto.
It is, and it's that way for a very good reason. We can dwell on the negative things in life, but how far do we get when we do it? You know, if we're always promoting and talking kids up especially, but also doing the same with adults, then hopefully that's enriching somebody's life.
Yeah, well, that's the idea. That was your original idea, anyway. You wanted to save this building and get some community use out of it, and you are.
And, you know, actually, that's a good point. Right now, we're at a turning point, I think, for Alcott. You know, there's so much development all over through the Crossroads area. And we'd really like to take Alcott to the next level. We want to make sure that we can restore the old building, but we'd really like to get a brand new building built on our east or west campus, because mm-hmm. we've got basically 4 acres.
Yeah.
And the location is incredible. Everybody's been wanting to buy our building since we started. So we know everybody likes that location, and it has gotten us several thousands of people to the events over the years. So, yeah, we're really pushing for that. So anybody that wants to come over and join in with us and help be a part of something great, they're welcome.
Yeah,
to
occasionally
do it.
Someone still asks about the name. They say, why Alcott? And always say, well, in those days, as I understand it, the Kansas City, Kansas School District named their buildings after famous authors. And Louisa May Alcott, of course, who was known for Little Women and Little Men. There's actually a Little Men yeah. as well. The name, but that particular school was named after her.
It is. And that's just it. You know, some people ask why we didn't change the name when we got in there, but it's always been the Alcott Grade School. Uh-huh. It was the Alcott High School. And it would be a travesty, I think, to try to name it anything other than what it is, because the building has its own personality.
Oh, it does, yeah.
And so many people come in, and they love the old architecture, and it's still in really good shape. Outside looks a little tacky right now, but we're working on that.
Oh, sure.
But, yeah, it's also been a building where we've had people come in from all over the country, and they've gone to a grade school identical to it. So it's like going back in time for them.
Sure, sure. Art is going on now until the Shakespeare in the parking lot sets up, but then you'll probably have other events other than art events coming up as well. You always do something at Halloween. I know that.
We do, and actually Lindsay's exhibit wraps up this Saturday, so we'll be open 6 to 8. Then the very next weekend, our second Saturday, we've got a sports show, so a sports art show, and we've got Daryl Woods, Anthony Oropeza, and Corey
Jones.
He's actually an artist coming in from Springfield, Missouri, and so that's exciting. They'll be exhibiting through October, up till October. Then we've got Bishop Ward will be coming in. They'll exhibit from our second Saturday in October all the way through the month, and then we wrap up, and that's the Day of the Dead's exhibition, and it's a whole school exhibit. So it's going to be really cool because there will be several different forms of art. But then we have the one that wraps up our season is our Halloween trick-or-treat at the Alcott, where we invite all the kids in from neighboring communities, and we all dress up, or everybody else dresses up. I never do. But
this year, he will.
There we go.
Whatever you want to do, Chuck. You earned the right. Yeah, the number to call for more information, 913-233-2787, or those last four digits can also be ARTS, or on the web at alcottartcenter.org. It's located at 180 South 18th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, a real good location. And if you MapQuest things, you need the zip code 66102. You have a Facebook page as well. I didn't write that down.
Yeah, it's just Alcott Art Center. And we also have a Keeping the Arts Growing at the Alcott Art Center page. So we just want everybody to kind of know what is going on in KCK, because as you know, this is our 17th year.
Sure.
And we've basically been a self-sustaining nonprofit, and we have gotten all of our money through donations, fundraisers, and a couple of small grants. So it's nice to know that the people still want us there and enjoy what's happening. But we try to make sure that we have a really good social media presence.
That's important.
It is. And we've been blessed with people that know the technology that we don't know. And that's one of the things that's been so great about Alcott over the years, is people have a lot of capabilities, but yet they come to us and give unselfishly and don't even ask for monetary compensation because they like the cause.
Yes, and 17 years ago when we were talking, we probably mentioned addresses, phone numbers, and that's probably about it.
Yeah, you're right.
So you've come a long ways.
Yeah,
from there. Lindsay's art exhibit continues then through Saturday. Mm-hmm. Just, we don't have much time, but just briefly, what is your subject?
Well, I dabble both with acrylic and melted wax. Uh-huh. Crayon, basically. But it's on canvas, and it's abstract. So I don't title my paintings because I want to see what you see in them. Ah. Because everyone sees something completely different.
That's
and I
true.
Love finding
that
out what
true.
It is.
Many times I've asked an artist, what does that mean? I don't say, what is it?
Mm-hmm.
I know better than that.
Yeah.
What does that mean? And they'll say, well, what does it mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they do have meaning.
Yeah, and I mean, there is definitely an inspiration behind every single one of my paintings, but I like to hear what you think first, and then I'll be happy to tell you what I was thinking.
Sure.
But
it's Lindsay Weaver, exhibit, it goes on through Saturday, and then she's all while this is going on, she's directing Shakespeare in the Parking Lot, which will go up on Saturday, September 8th at 3, Sunday the 9th at 3, then Saturday the 15th at 3, and then Sunday the 16th at 3 o'clock p.m. at the Alcott Arts Center, 180 South 18th Street in Kansas City, Missouri, 913-233-2787 or ARTS. Or alcottartscenter.org. I want to thank all of my guests for being with me today. Nice to have all of you. Lindsay Weaver, who is the director of Shakespeare in the Parking Lot. Ask her questions about her favorite Shakespeare scenes. A Pound of Flesh. Not an ounce more, nor an ounce less. Chuck Green, who is the executive director of the Alcott Arts Center. And Chuck Green, who is the president of the Alcott Arts Center, and Chris Green, the very quiet Chris Green today, the executive director then of the Alcott Arts Center. Thanks all of you so much for being with us on this edition of the Arts Magazine Show. Nice to have you. And may we see you again in the future, not
well,
too far.
Well, I hope
off
so. You've been great to us over the years, Michael, and KKFI. Does so many good things for the community and for the greater community, so it's nice to be part of it.
Yeah, thank you, Chuck, for saying that. Thanks so much for being with us. The Jazz Insider is coming up next in true KKFI tradition. We'll have jazz from 1 to 3. We'll follow up that with the blues from 3 to 6 right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's Community Radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that cross in the road, I'm Michael Hogue. We'll see you next time.